Let me begin right off by saying that I do not have a bucket list. As a matter of fact, I have always been against them. They've annoyed me. I have been fond of saying that what is most important in life is being present in this moment, staying focused on the here and now, in this moment, and then this moment, and then this one. I believed and still do that experiences are not something to be planned out in great detail, but savored when stumbled upon, like a fine wine or an incredible chocolate. I love the uncovering of such experiences that have the potential to change our lives. I've not been one to try to contrive such happenings. Even my life-changing cave experience in southern England was something that I literally just happened upon. Never planned, never expected, was outside of the pilgrimage that I was on. I sort of wandered away on my own. I, for one, am with Robert Frost, compelled to wander the road less traveled. Seeking and discovery has always been my philosophy, so a bucket list seemed like something that might feel forced. I like to go deep into a moment, mining for wisdom and all the jewels of life that the universe and serendipity might provide. To reveal how adamant I was about a bucket list and that fad, I even refused to see the movie by the same name when it came out, even though it starred two of my favorite actors, Jack Nicholson and Morgan Freeman. Years later, I did see it, begrudgingly. But it did not motivate me to change my mind and produce a bucket list. Oh, no. I figured that I was not terminally ill, so what was the point? Now a bit older and wiser, I realize that we are all terminally well until we are not. This morning, I stand in front of you, in all honesty, reconsidering a bucket list. It really began last Sunday, to tell you the truth, when there was a confluence of events that began with me sharing my sermon with you about mindful practices, spiritual or not, like singing the hymn, "When I breathe in peace. When I breathe out love," and how that is a form of meditation. What I shared in my sermon was that there are many ways to pray and meditate, and maybe we already have different types of practices that we do not realize. They keep us mindful and connected, maybe kind of like in the zone, so to speak, that place that nurtures and inspires and guides us. I heard from many of you during after worship last week that you were interested in the possibility of sharing your practices with one another. How can we truly feel like we are together on this journey of life if some prefer the solitary experience? When I arrived home some hours later, I walked into my kitchen thinking about this, and I glanced down at the counter, and I saw a magazine that had just arrived, and in bold letters on the cover, it screamed at me, "The 365-day bucket list. 1 year, 46 ideas, guaranteed happiness." Blink, blink. I think I was vulnerable. I felt that familiar tug inside, and I wondered, really? What are you trying to tell me? I picked up the magazine, Guaranteed Happiness in 365 Days. That is what it was right there. Guaranteed. I opened the magazine, started flipping through, looking for the article. I saw lots of other stuff. And then eventually I found the article, which was called, "This is How You Do It." This is how you do it. I wasn't buying that for a second. No, no. Kate Seiber, the author of the article, explained, "That mental list you keep of all the fun things you want to experience before it's too late? We wrote it down. Then we came up with a chronological plan for making it all happen in the next 365 days. She pulled me in. Okay, I was interested, and I wanted to know a little bit more. Like, all right, 365 days, what do you got on your list? Did I mention the magazine was Outdoor Life? Yeah, action, go, go. Anyway, Kate began her list with bobsled like an Olympian. See the Northern Lights. Okay, I can bite. Face your greatest fear. Heights, flying, contained spaces. Do it yourself, or what they call a DIY river trip. Live on the edge. Face your fears. Climb a mountain. Play at being John Muir on the top of a massive tree for an extended period of time, which for some of us would be another height challenge, but I'm sure it would be beautiful. Enter into a silent meditation. Okay, now you're getting there. Lock eyes with a mountain gorilla or grizzly bear. They did both, apparently. Circle New Zealand's South Island, cross the ocean, get lost in the Amazon. Apparently she got found because the article came out. Soak in the solitude in the hot springs. Drive, and I know this is good for some of you, I'm thinking of one person in particular. Driving as fast as you can on the Bonneville Salt Flats in Utah. Swim with a whale shark. No mention of swimming with the dolphins, by the way. Maybe it was not quite edgy enough. As I read her list, I began to wonder what happiness could be found in facing one's fear or entering into silent meditation. Then I was called back to entering that cave and the fears that I faced so many years ago. Yup, fears worked for getting in touch with that small, still voice within. It's true. The next step in my mental process was, could defining our daily practice, breathe in peace, breathe out love, connect to creating a bucket list? Like, how do those two fit together? What if we mindfully meditate on the creation of a bucket list? What would be presented to us? What would be on our bucket list? Okay, check off swimming with the shark thing. I'm not so interested in that. I gotta say that I have already climbed rock faces because I did that a lot when I was younger. I have ziplined high and wide, not so much. Trekked across Alaska, flown in a bush plane around Denali. I've ridden on an Alaskan railroad. I faced a grizzly bear as I was navigating in a rubber raft down a river and he was in hot pursuit. I don't need to do that again. I have flown into the Grand Canyon in a helicopter and floated the Colorado River. I've been in South Africa and seen free wild lions lazing around after a kill. I was in a car, smart move. I have seen hippos in the wild up close and personal. I was not in a car, not a smart move. I have lived in an ashram. I've been in silent meditation for more than a day. Maybe going to a sweat lodge or walking on hot coals would be interesting. Friends of mine did that hot coal thing, and honestly, after hearing about the experience, I might not want to do that. I have seen the Dalai Lama, Thich Nhat Hanh. I want to hear Pema Chodron speak in person. I've seen her in videos and heard her on Audible books, but not face-to-face. There's something about being in the presence of someone like the Dalai Lama or Thich Nhat Hanh or Pema Chodron that is amazing. Like, the room just is electric with their presence. So, I think so. I can only imagine that some of you already have bucket lists. How many of you have a bucket list? A couple. I've been thinking this week, and we talked about it last night a bit at the Seekers Gathering, that maybe having and maintaining a bucket list is a form of spiritual practice in itself. Not this thrill-seeker outdoor life kind of list, but maybe something a little bit different. So to begin my own process, I have gone on a quest to reveal what a spiritual seeker's bucket list might look like. I found an article that explained that the term bucket list comes from the slang term kick the bucket. My mother used to play kick the can a lot as a kid, but this kick the bucket thing. It essentially is a list of things you should like to do before you die. A bucket list is not meant to be morbid, despite the name. It's actually meant to be a way of embracing life and making the most out of it. Gives you a place which you can really verbalize all of your dreams and accomplishments in a structured but casual way. The piece explained that many of us are quick to put a lot of goals down, like paint the house, and work toward them. But spiritual matters often get left over to be pursued later or in our free time. Realizing that not all of us connect with the word spiritual, feel free to use mindful or any other descriptor that has meaning for you. But for me, spiritual works. So having those spiritual goals on a bucket list is a constant reminder to make attempts to move forward and progress towards a life that is mindfully lived. Why not? When I think about what might go on to such a list, I also wonder if some of those people we revere as seekers and teachers had such lists. I have to be honest, I thought about this playfully. So what would Jesus have on his list? Walk across water. Change water into wine. And then on the third day, ... The Buddha may have included sit under a tree for a long time. Face off with a demon Mara. Find the middle way. Write the Heart and Lotus Sutras. Take a bowl, go to the village, beg for rice. Rumi's? Write a poem praising God. Write another poem praising God. Write one more, and then whirl with the dervishes until you pass out or your feet fall off. Muhammad? Go to a cave, meet the angel Gabriel. Transcribe the Quran. Go home to Mecca, walk around a black monolith a lot, preserve all knowledge during the Dark Ages, check, check, check. So, how do we create such a list and what do we do with it? Some people actually write their goals on strips of paper and put them in a small bucket and leave it in a prominent place to help remind them to go through it regularly. If one does not want to use a bucket or a pail, there are boxes, cookie jars, which was one of my favorites, a wooden bowl, or a vase. The object that contains the list should be kept in open so we can see it as a reminder. One could also have a notebook for his or her list, remembering that this is an ongoing, ever-evolving process. As each item is accomplished, one can journal about the experience, sharing insights and wisdom gained. This also could be a practice that one engages in with others. What might one add to this mindfully created bucket list? Taking a course or a retreat at Kripalu, or maybe the Omni Institute. Read a certain book or study the Kabbalah. Create or rearrange an altar or shrine in your home. Practice regular meditation, a craft, walking in the woods. Fast, periods of abstinence from any number of things. This is done at Ramadan and at the Christian time of Lent. Find a medium or someone that can help you feel connected to your higher power, aka that still small voice within. Find a spiritual home or community. You got that one covered. Check. One thing that I would love to do is go back to England and take all of you with me, so that you can have an opportunity to see and maybe even experience something incredible, although there is no guarantee. I often imagine journeying and studying together. I believe, even though I am, believe it or not, an introvert, that we are meant to share this inner life with one another. Maybe not in its entirety, but snippets of it, stories or findings and wisdom. In this life, it is far too easy to just keep moving and to miss or disregard the incredible happenings that are happening all around us. Imagine if the Buddha had walked by that Bodhi tree or remained a prince, Jesus didn't speak the truth to power. Or Muhammad was afraid of knowledge and instead decided to burn all those books that he found along the way. There's something important about being mindfully, consciously present in our day-to-day. And maybe creating a list of our hopes and dreams is not so contrived and constrictive, because that's what I thought. That list may just take us on a journey that we never really even expected. Think about it. Then write it down. Then share it. We may all be surprised what may be uncovered in that process of thinking about it, writing it down, and then sharing it. May it be so. Blessed be. Amen.